Good morning. Thank you for being here today. If you'll turn in your Bibles, as you can see, to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, we're going to read verses 1 to 7 and then 11 to 14 to begin. So we read from verse 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts," or spiritualities, "brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. And there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." Verse 11, "But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit you are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." Well, once upon a time, there was a famous house builder and painter. And after designing homes, he would then build and paint them himself. And as a painter, he was such an amazing artist that he didn't even need drop cloths. How many of you would be able to paint like that? Not very many. He had a steady hand, and yet he was finicky about using good brushes and good quality paint so that there were no drips. Just nice, tight trim lines. I think my brother Joe could probably fit into this category, all right? This craftsman always designed and built his houses all by himself with his own hands. But then one day, he came up with this fantastic idea. And as he was standing by one of his houses, he saw a bunch of kids coming home from school. They were joking with each other. They were laughing, and they had their backpacks, and they were just minding their own business, and he shouted at them, "Hey, kids!" And they all looked up, and this guy was known in the town as an amazing builder, designer, and they just kind of, when he called them, they looked up at him in awe. And he said to them, when they looked up, he asked them, "How would you like to do some painting today?" "What do you mean?" they said. "Well, I'll tell you what," he said. "I'll give each one of you a bucket of paint and a brush, and you can paint my new house. Do you want to give it a try?" And of course, they were delighted to be able to do this for this master builder painter. And the painter said, "It's for real. You can do this." And they said, "This is really cool." So he opened all the back of his truck and he pulled out pails of paint and brushes. And then he pried the cans open and they started to splash this paint on his garage door. They got paint on the sidewalk and on each other. But they also had a lot of paint on the house. All different colors, everywhere, up to about 4 feet high, about as high as they could reach. And as the other kids came down the sidewalk, of course, they piqued their interest, and they said, "Can we do that too?" And they all joined in, and in about an hour, most of the first floor was covered with paint. Well, the house painter's neighbors saw all this going on, and after dinner, they came over and they said, "What's going on?" And another guy blurted out, "Look, I got to be honest with you. It looks like a tornado just ripped through Sherwin-Williams. What were you thinking?" Well, the house painter said, of course, I could have painted this whole house all by myself, and I could have done a good job at it. But he said, I do this to bring joy to others. So based on that, this most beautiful house, I wanted to share it with others. And so I invited these kids to come and help me paint it. And he said, they're going to bring dozens of others to look at this house, and they're going to say, look what we've done. This isn't just the master builder's house. This is our house too. Well, in the same way, God the Father is the master designer, builder, painter. And he pours out his Holy Spirit on us, his followers, and he hands every single one of us a can of paint and a brush, and he says, go to work. Use your gifts and let the paint fall on my house so that the world can see what a beautiful house we have. So today, we're going to start a study on the subject of spiritual gifts. And I know that many of you here this morning have a spiritual gift. Some of you have a great handle on this subject, and you know exactly what I'm talking about when I mention this thing called spiritual gifts. For others today, though, this is brand new territory for you, and you have never heard about this strange subject before. So here's how we are going to proceed over the next few weeks. Today I'm going to be speaking to you as if you are hearing this for the very first time. And so for those of you who know what I'm talking about, I want you to nod and I want you to be in awe as if you're hearing this for the very first time. I want you to stay awake. I'm going to introduce the subject of spiritual gifts by asking and answering some very basic questions. First question that we're going to look at is, what is a spiritual gift? Does it come in a package, all neatly wrapped? What does a spiritual gift look like? Secondly, how does one receive one of these gifts? Do you have to be a spiritual guru in order to get a gift? Does it involve long periods of praying and fasting and maybe even chanting to get a gift? What are the gifts that God gives? And where are they found in the Bible? And we'll simply show all the presents and where God has them tucked away in his word. You know, I remember at Christmas when I was a kid, my mother really had a time hiding the Christmas presents. There were seven of us in the house, six boys and a girl, and so you can imagine the task that she had, and the house was only so big. And she finally, I think, ran out of hiding places and just gave up on this. But God has revealed in his word where the gifts are. And we might be asking the question, are they complete? Well, we don't know. Then how can a person discover or recognize his or her gift or gifts? Is there a name tag on my gift saying, to Bruce from God? Not quite. But there is a unique gift that each one of us has been given who are followers of Jesus Christ, and we can discover it and we can recognize it. Are all the gifts relevant today? Have some ceased? And I know that I'm wading into deeper waters here, and I've saved this one for near the end. And then finally, what is the purpose of the gifts? Why did God the Holy Spirit give us a spiritual gift? Is it for our benefit? Or does God have other valid reasons for us having a spiritual gift? Now, after today, we're going to go this way. We're going to talk about a more excellent way next week. And we're going to have a brief but practical exposition, we hope, of 1 Corinthians 13 on October the 9th. And the reason we're doing this is because Paul tucked this chapter, it seemed, in 1 Corinthians, right in the middle of his talk on spiritual gifts. And so there's a reason why this chapter is placed where it is among spiritual gifts. The Corinthians, we read in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, had all the gifts. So why is Paul talking about a more excellent way, this way of love? And then we're going to move on to a description of the gifts and their practical use today by teaching on the various gifts and how they're used, emphasizing how Christ exemplified these gifts in his own life. And this is divided up into the speaking gifts, which we are going to look at on October the 30th and October the 23rd, and the serving gifts that we're going to be dealing with on November the 6th and 13th, and then the signifying gifts or the sign gifts that we're going to deal with on December the 4th and the 11th. So we have some challenging yet exciting things coming up, and we look forward to elevating most of all the name of Christ as we talk about this important subject from the Word of God. So let's turn now to the first question that I presented. What is a spiritual gift? And we're going to look at a definition here. Now, Gene Gibson, who wrote the study guide, Intermediate Christian Training, defined the spiritual gifts in this way. Spiritual gifts are God-given capabilities for spiritual service supernaturally bestowed upon believers only. A spiritual gift is not a natural talent, although a natural talent certainly comes from God because he created all of us and he made us the way we are with various abilities and talents. Now, some of you here today, I know, are fantastic musicians. And God has blessed this assembly with some very talented people. And this, I believe, is a God-given talent. But others are good athletes. And others are mechanical wizards. And some can quilt and sew and grow gardens. Yet these aren't what we would call spiritual gifts. Because God has given both Christians and non-Christians these kinds of things. I mean, non-Christians are great athletes. And non-Christians can sew. And they can do all these other things. Oftentimes, though, I want to say, we can blend our natural abilities together with our spiritual gifts. And they can be used together. For instance, on Monday nights, as you heard this morning, the ladies have Connect Four. And a number of ladies gather together on this evening to do various activities that require some talent. I think. However, you know what? I can envision people blending their talents with their spiritual gifts here. For instance, it could be blended with the spiritual gift of encouragement or evangelism at the same time. And I can see others being cared for by those who have the spiritual gift of mercy. And as they're sitting down and they're maybe sewing something together, they can be talking about things. And a person with a spiritual gift of mercy may have to reach out to an individual. And others are perhaps going to be given wise counsel by someone else who has the gift of discernment or teaching. Our natural abilities and strengths often work together with our spiritual gifts. A little over a week ago, a very talented group of musicians from this assembly and the community provided an uplifting and encouraging evening of music here at Bethel by using their natural talents. But I believe that some of those musicians also have spiritual gifts that blended well with their talent of music. And we were encouraged that night as we were here and listened to that. When your mother gave birth to you, God also gave you a natural ability. But when you were born again, God the Holy Spirit gave you a supernatural ability as well, which we call a spiritual gift. How does it happen? How does one receive a spiritual gift? Well, the Bible says that every good thing and every perfect gift comes from above and comes down from the Father of lights. And just as God has given each of us different talents when we were born, we also have a supernatural ability called a spiritual gift when we were born again. So if you're wondering, do I have a spiritual gift? You need to ask yourself another question first. And the question is this: am I born again? Do I have a personal relationship with the Lord of glory? In Paul's discussion of spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, he tells the Corinthians what their status was before they were born again. They were pagans. They were idol worshipers. They were led around by evil influences. They saw many supernatural manifestations themselves. They heard a lot of really good things and a lot of really bad things. And I'm looking for a set of notes here that I don't have here. No, that's not it. Anyway, I've lost a page here somewhere. Maybe it's under here. I can understand how Lori felt this morning when she was looking for her music. There it is. But anyway, they had been given over to a lot of evil influences, it seems, and they were in bondage by the devil himself. And they cursed Jesus and told him and did not recognize him as Lord. Why were they like this? Why was I like that for 26 years of my life? Because I wasn't born again. Because I didn't know what it was to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I did not have God the Holy Spirit in me. It was only after I was converted to Christianity that I could call Jesus Christ Lord and mean it. I was under the influence of the Holy Spirit then, but I was under the influence of the devil before that. A number of things happened to me instantaneously the day that I was converted. First of all, Jesus became my Lord and Savior. Second, I received eternal life. Third, I received supernatural power because God the Holy Spirit came and to dwell in me, and he came and dwelt in me. And we call this the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it happens once. It happens forever. In 1 Corinthians 12, chapter 13, we'll tell you that. We all became immersed into the body of Christ when we were born again. But how do I know that the Holy Spirit came to indwell me? Jesus promised that it would happen in John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. I want you to look at this. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be, did you see that? Will be in you. Jesus is telling us here that the Holy Spirit in this case, who was called a counselor because of his wisdom, will be given, and he will live in us and be with us. Now look at this from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, which is another evidence that the Holy Spirit lives in us. Paul affirms the promise of Jesus here. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God with your body. The Holy Spirit, if you are a Christian today, is in you, my friend. He dwells in us, and we are to glorify the Lord God through our bodies. Something else happened when I was converted. I received at least one spiritual gift. At least one spiritual gift, and maybe more. Now look at this, and remember that Paul is talking about spiritual gifts in this passage. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Did you see that? But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And so each one of us has a spiritual gift. And then Paul goes on in verses 8 to 10 of that passage in Romans 12 to cite what some of those gifts are. In verse 11, he writes, "But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually," you see, "just as he wills." Which means that the Holy Spirit gives us the gifts that he wills to give us. And so if you don't like the gift that you have to talk to the Holy Spirit. Or if you want another gift that you don't have, maybe you should talk to the Holy Spirit too. So what are the gifts and where are they found in the Bible? Now here's a list. And I suggest maybe you just write the scripture reference there. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 to 10, and 1 Corinthians 12, 28. And you'll notice the list, and you'll notice that some of them are repeated. Now, why are they repeated? Maybe for emphasis. And in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 to 8, and Ephesians 4, 11, and 1 Peter 4, 11, all the gifts are listed there, and there's quite a variety of gifts. Now, some have asked, is the list complete? I think it is as complete as God wants us to know at this particular time. So how do I know what my gift is? Moving on to another question. How can I recognize it? The Bible isn't clear on this, but I believe that God will make it clear to us somehow. How? Well, I think one is, first of all, we have to be surrendered to him. And you know, when Paul started talking about spiritual gifts in Romans 12, he prefaced it with this whole idea of presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service of worship, because from that, we can learn the perfect will of God. And part of that will of God is for us to learn and to know and to use our spiritual gift. Another is by asking someone, how do you see the Lord using me? Where do you see God using me the most? And that's how I learned some of what I believe to be my spiritual gift today. Someone talked to me and told me and helped me with that. It's evident that God, the Holy Spirit, gives gifts for specific purposes. And one of those purposes is that we're going to talk about in a few minutes is that we glorify the Lord. But before we do that, we want to try to answer this question. Have some of the gifts ceased today? Have some gifts ceased? I'm going to let you think about that for a while. I think I'll go and have a coffee, then come back. Were some gifts used only for certain times and purposes? Well, there are those like John Walford who says, yes, some of the gifts such as prophecy and tongues and knowledge have ceased. And it wasn't long ago that I would have agreed wholeheartedly with what John Wolford said until I had to ask myself this question. Where do I find that in the Bible? How can I definitively say that some gifts have ceased and some gifts have not? The only scripture that talks about the cessation of gifts is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 to 10 and verse 12. And here it is. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are gifts of tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, just as I also have been fully known. Now you will notice that these verses say gifts will cease to be. But it's going to be in a future day. Notice the word will. They will cease. They will be done away. They will. When will they cease? When are they going to stop? Well, it says here, when the perfect comes. When the perfect comes, they will be done away. Now, this word perfect means having reached its end, being finished, being complete. It could be referring to the completed canon of Scripture. But the passage does not tell us that. It could be referring to something such as a face-to-face encounter with the Lord Jesus in the hereafter. And so the perfect will be, we'll see the Lord Jesus face to face, and that is when the perfect comes. We really don't know when the perfect is going to happen. It isn't definitive enough for us to park cessation of gifts on in this passage. So can we say that gifts have ceased? I don't know where we can draw that from the scripture, other than they will cease, but we don't know the time frame. But a greater problem that I see is not whether these gifts are going to cease. It is with the abuse and misuse of certain gifts, which often occurs because someone is trying to elevate himself or herself rather than the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the purpose of the gifts, that we need to glorify the Lord. God gives supernatural gifts to men. But what is the purpose of the spiritual gift? Why did God give us spiritual gifts? Well, first of all, he gave us spiritual gifts in order to build up and encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, I want you to look at these verses. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Now, look at this. For the common good. It's for the benefit of our brothers and sisters in Christ. He gave us those gifts to build up our brothers and sisters. Now there's other verses as well. But to each, now I wish to that you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you would prophesy, and greater is one who prophesies than one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets, so that, and here's the reason, so that the church may receive edifying. Notice the attention here is on others. It is not on ourselves. And so the purpose of spiritual gifts is to build up and encourage the church, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And a second reason, as I've already mentioned, God the Holy Spirit gives us gifts to glorify the Lord Jesus. Now, when Jesus introduced his disciples to this particular subject of the Holy Spirit, he said this: "He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and will disclose it to you," which also includes spiritual gifts. And so we have been given a spiritual gift to encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ. We've been given a spiritual gift to elevate the name of Jesus Christ. And that is one of the purposes of what we're doing here in going through spiritual gifts. We want to exalt the name of Jesus through it all. And we want to show how Jesus can be exalted through our spiritual gift and the use of the spiritual gift. So God is the master designer, painter, and builder. And each one of us is designed uniquely. And God, in his wisdom, has given certain people talents of music and talents of building and talents of other things. But God, in his wisdom, has also given born-again Christians a supernatural gift, a spiritual gift that we otherwise would not have had. God gives them to us. And he gives them to us for his glory. What is the chief end of man? It is to glorify God and to praise him forever. And that's what we want to do with our spiritual gift. We don't want to draw attention to ourselves. We want to draw attention to our God. How great is our God? We've been singing about that. And let's magnify him as we use our spiritual gift in the body of Christ here at Bethel. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for all that we learn from your word. And we pray, our God, that you would just bless over the next weeks as we look into spiritual gifts and as we try to determine how they're to be used practically today among our brothers and sisters, and how we can glorify the Lord through them. Thank you for each person here today. And Lord, we thank you that being born again is a possibility for everyone, both Jew and Greek, both slave and free, your word says. And Lord, I pray that if there's some here today who haven't yet broken the bonds of this world and have given their life to Christ, we pray today that they would indeed do that, that they would be born again, born afresh, anew. We commit them to you. Thank you for the families here today. Lord, I pray your richest blessing on every family here this morning. God bless them and go with them and help them as they build their own families in their homes. We commit them to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.